Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
What if instead of give me your tired, your poor, this was written on the Statue of Liberty? Give me your AKs, your AR-15s, just stack those extra clips up in my socks, and I'll take a box of Uzis, Colts, and Glocks. Well, the idea of New York welcoming illegal firearms the way it once welcomed immigrants was a disturbing image presented by city officials yesterday as they announced the discovery of a disturbing cache of weapons smuggled into New York City. A new record, 254 guns, charged 19 alleged smugglers. It's New York's biggest gun bust to date.
Perhaps the two most disturbing aspects of the gun trafficking operation were the simplicity of the business model and the complete indifference of the gun suppliers to the mayhem that their actions would cause here in New York City.
New York's special narcotics prosecutor, Bridget Brennan, there. The accused men hail from New York and North and South Carolina. Mayor Bloomberg has called the Carolinas, along with Virginia, the three leading feeder states of crime guns for the city of New York. How does this work? We turn to Daniel Webster, director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Is this a simple case of a demand meeting supply, eager supply in this case, it seems like?
Well, in many ways it is. New York has some of the strongest gun laws in the nation. Therefore, there's scarcity on the streets, and that's a good thing. That scarcity, however, does increase the price substantially. And individuals like the ones who were caught up in this sting profit from it.
How does the gun pipeline work along the East Coast? It's a short drive from Virginia to the outskirts of New York City, if not right into the center of town.
Right. People bring guns in a variety of ways, buses, cars, trains. But typically, they're coming from states with substantially weaker laws and regulations that make it very difficult to hold individuals accountable when they traffic in weapons. And proximity does matter. So that's one reason why, in addition to states with weaker laws like Virginia and South Carolina, Pennsylvania plays an important role in supplying guns to New York and other Northeast cities and states with stronger gun laws.
Listen to what Bridget Brennan is saying, talking about this sort of contradiction between laws in Virginia and the Carolinas and here in New York State.
They cannot hide behind another state's gun laws when they know the firearms they supply are destined to be distributed here.
Is it possible that the legality of a gun purchase in the state of Virginia gets protected on some level? If you know they're going to New York, are you committing a felony? It just happens to be a New York felony in this case.
Yes, you are. You're also subjecting yourself to federal gun charges as well. But I think many people who are involved in trafficking feel that there's relatively little risk. They sort of have to be ensnared in stings of this nature often to be caught. Because if I lived in Virginia and bought some guns at a gun show and I made connections with individuals in New York to sell them on the streets, there would be no way to connect that gun to me. And if they ever did connect that gun to me, no sort of trail of accountability that's in place in states like New York and New Jersey and other states of that nature.
Now, of course, the NRA would say that Michael Bloomberg and city officials have created their own problem, you alluded to it earlier, by putting in place these restrictions that allow people to buy low and sell high as long as they drive to New York and sell inside the city where there are these risks, but there are also these rewards.
Well, I don't buy that logic. Again, the reason that there's such a markup and a profit to be made is because there's local scarcity in guns. New York has, as Mayor Bloomberg rightly claims, is the safest large city in the United States. And I think there are probably a number of reasons for that, but very importantly, I think there are fewer guns on the streets.
Commenting on a record gun bust, 254 guns seized, 19 alleged smugglers arrested. here in the city of New York. That's Daniel Webster, director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research. He spoke to us from Bethesda. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.
Later this hour, an investigation into the taco zeitgeist. Hot dogs, PBJs, hamburgers, all in the dustbin of fast food history, but not tacos.
Cameron David, I'm calling from Livermore, California. Try a peanut butter and cheddar quesadilla. Don't knock it till you try it. Also, you're missing a golden opportunity by not calling this episode of the show the Taco Way. It's a bit cheesy, but hey, it's a meaty opportunity for a tasty bun.
Curtis from Flagstaff, Arizona. Being from Southern Arizona, we make our own tacos weekly. Chicken dinner one night, then chicken tacos for a couple nights thereafter. Clean meat sautéed in Herdez salsa. Been at it for more than 25 years.
Loving that, Curtis, in Flagstaff. But Cameron David, maybe David Cameron at number 10 Downing, eating tacos. That's my taco way, bud. Christian likes the Banh Mi taco from Gastropod Miami. It's pretty amazing. He writes, tell us your taco story at 877-8-MY-TAKE and tell us how you fix it. Coming up, the 60th anniversary of the Iranian coup, the CIA finally takes credit here on The Takeaway.